A debate has begun in the scientific community after the publication of new research which claims that some people telepathically know who is calling them before they answer the phone. Rupert Sheldrake produced the research, and in a moment we'll speak to Peter Atkins, who's a sceptic about all this. But Rupert first, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
What sort of evidence have you got for any of this?
Well, we did hundreds of trials to find out if there's more than just a matter of chance coincidence and illusion produced by forgetting all the times you're wrong and remembering when you're right. That's the standard view that sceptics have put forward for decades without any evidence, testing it one way or the other. So we set up trials to find out if this is true, whether there really is more to it. In the trials, the subjects named four people that they might be telepathic with. They were filmed sitting by a landline telephone. The experimenters selected one of the four callers at random by the throw of a die, called them up, asked them to ring the subject. So the subject's sitting there, the phone rings, they know it's one of these four people. It's nothing to do with ordinary patterns of behavior because it's part of a special experiment. They've been selected at random. Before picking the phone up, they have to answer. They have to say who they think it is. I think it's John, for example. And then they pick the phone up and say, hello, John. They're right or they're wrong. By chance, they'd be right one time in four, 25%. In these experiments, they were actually right, 45%, which is
45%?
Yes, 45%.
So almost twice as much. And what's your explanation for that?
Well, I think that there's a connection between people. You know, I don't have a complete explanation for telepathy. This is
so you believe it is telepathy or some sort of communication, which is
paranormal. It's not the normal senses. It's not chance coincidence. It's not any of the normal explanations, as far as we can tell. And a very similar phenomenon occurs with emails, where I've also done hundreds of tests.
Okay, thank you, Rupert.
However, let's talk to the leading scientist, Professor Peter Atkins, who's a biologist at Lincoln College, Oxford. Professor Atkins, why is all this a total waste of time in your view?
Well, you can't rely on any of these experiments. And by the way, I'm a chemist, not a biologist. But there is no serious work done in this field. The samples that people use are very tiny. The effects are statistically insignificant. The controls are not done in a scientific way. On the whole, there's just no point in doing it. There are no serious reasons for believing that there should be an effect of telepathy anyway. There's no mechanism within modern science that would account for it. There's nothing that drives people to believe in it except sentiment, emotion, things like that.
Well, I mean, it would be useful, wouldn't it? I mean, I can think of all sorts of...
That's the point, because nature has been around for several billion years, and the pressures of evolution and natural selection would have brought out telepathy as one of the major senses. After all, what's happened to vision. Vision is enormously important for survival, and several independent emergences of vision and the optical system have occurred. But with telepathy, it would be fantastic. You wouldn't need vision. You'd just know what was going to go on around you.
Well, the fact that
evolution hasn't done it in a billion years seems to me to be really convincing evidence.
On the other hand, Professor Atkins, I mean, when he produces his evidence, he said 25% is what you would expect. What he got was 45%.
No,
that is remarkable.
Just playing with statistics.
Well, let's put that to Rupert Sheldrake. I mean, Rupert Sheldrake playing with statistics, he doesn't believe a word of it. What do you say to him?
Well, I'd like to ask him if he's actually read the evidence. May I ask you, Professor Atkins, if you've actually studied any of this evidence or any other evidence?
No, but I would be very suspicious of it.
Well, of course, if being suspicious of it in advance of seeing it is normally called prejudice.
Yes,
and
there's always reasons for believing in bizarre phenomena. By looking at alternative explanations within the scientific milieu. For example, people guessing that because of a particular time of day that someone's going to call.
Oh, these tests exclude that. You seem to have missed the point of the experiments. They're done by random selection. I started from the kinds of objections you're putting forward. That's the starting point. Then we try to go on and test those in rigorous scientific tests. How do you know?
Well,
you don't know a thing about it. You haven't looked at the evidence. No. I think you're talking from the point of view of prejudice, dogma, and actually, frankly, lack of information. I would never presume to comment on your experiments in chemistry without reading them.
But I've read your experiments in the past on other off-the-wall ideas that you've had.
Have you? We can discuss any of those you'd like to.
But we're discussing this to be invalid.
Thank you both very much.
It's like listening to Andrew Murray talking to the light touch judges.
You heard there from the chemist, Professor Peter Atkins.
That was very interesting.
And
thank you,
Rupert Sheldrake.
It was good to hear
two
of you arguing the point.
Anecdotally, I bet lots of listeners have had that funny feeling about the phone when you answer it.
Yeah, but normally because you know it's always your mum who rings.
Well, yeah, there's only about four people who ring me, actually, so it's not that difficult.
That'll be my friend.
My mum always knows when it's me.
So does mine, so there we are.